You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
God bless you. This is a special service today. It is the weekend. We had Thanksgiving on Thursday, but we want the Thanksgiving to continue today. And our whole fellowship today is going to be centered around giving thanks. What an awesome topic, huh? So we're going to receive communion, and it should be just a wonderful time. A little different service that we're going to do today. We're going to do a lot of singing. Hope you don't mind. Because we're going to sing praises to God today and giving thanks. So why don't we all stand up, and first let's sing How Great Thou Art.
Interested in our own, in each of our lives, and who desires to work with us. We praise you this morning for being a God who is powerful and a God who is near. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. So, This morning we're going to be going between verses and singing. This is a technical challenge today because I have the verses and my notes up here, which we're going to put up, and songs are being from the back there, and we have the switches that goes back and forth between the two, and sometimes it doesn't sync up as quick as we'd like. But we're going to try this today. But here is this verse to kind of set the standard for what we're doing today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And that's kind of our theme today. I love that. We admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts. So let's do Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Ooh, we got clappers, yeah.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye, all ye lands. Serve the Lord, the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence and sing and praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. So I want to go through these. You can look in your Bible. I'm going to have these up here. But in Psalms, there's some of these great Psalms about thanksgiving, about singing to God for praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 69:30, it says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. I'll praise him with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with what?
Thanksgiving.
Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalm 107:22, let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his work with joyful singing. And Psalm 116:17 says, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I thought I would like to think about that term, sacrifice of thanksgiving. you know, and also in singing, that it's, when I sing, it's a sacrifice. It's an offering. I think, you know what I think of when I think of a sacrifice of thanksgiving? I think of Noah when he comes off the ark. You know, it says that when he came off the ark, he offered an offering of every clean animal. I don't know how many that is, but I think Noah was probably pretty thankful. You know, all things on earth died, all the creature, you know, all the animal died, but his family was saved. And now he's on dry land again. There's earth. He's off the boat. He's been on there for over a year with all these animals, right? And he offers, and it says God smelled a sweet smell, a sweet sacrifice. It was thankfulness. It was an offering. And when we come together to sing, when we give thanks, it is our offering. It is our offering. It's our sacrifice of thanksgiving to God for all he's done for us. Psalm 147:1 says, praise Yahweh, praise the Lord. For it is good. It's a good thing to sing praises to our God. For it's pleasant and praise is becoming. It's a good thing. Singing is not just, oh, let's sing, you know, so we can get to the teaching. Let's sing to take up time to get to the next thing in the service. Singing is our offering. It's our sacrifice where we offer praise on our lips to the Creator. It's a beautiful thing. And it's something. So that's the day I want to take time to go through these and let the scriptures, basically, we're going to let the scriptures direct us this morning into the things that we're doing. Psalm 147 says, sing to Yahweh, sing with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God on the lyre. Psalm 92:1, it says, it is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. If you got your Bible, I have a verse in Hebrews 13, but I'd actually like you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews. I just want to show you this because when I first saw this in Hebrews, it really spoke to me about the importance of singing praises and how this is something that God desires. Hebrews. I just wanted to read this verse in chapter 10. I mean, I could spend the whole time looking at Hebrews to explain this, but here in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 1, talking about the law. For the law, since it is only a shadow of good things to come, and that the very form of things can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continue year by year, make perfect for those who draw near. They offered sin sacrifices to try and make themselves acceptable for God and for forgiveness of their sins. In verse 4 it says, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, he said, when he comes in the world, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Verse 8 it says, after saying this, sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You could take the whole book of Hebrews to see this, but one of the great things in the book of Hebrews is it shows that Jesus Christ was the final payment. He was that final offering, that final sacrifice for mankind's sin. There's no longer a need to offer an animal sacrifice because the blood of Jesus Christ paid that price for us. All right? Then that's a lot of what Hebrews is. It's showing that the Old Testament was now replaced with the new covenant in Christ Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. But then you get to chapter 13. After he goes through this whole thing to show that those sacrifices are no longer required, then you get to Hebrews 13, is the verse I have up here in verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15, it says, through him, then through Christ, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. There is still a sacrifice that we are to offer. This did not cease when Jesus Christ died on the cross. This sacrifice is something that we are still asked to offer up. It is still a sacrifice. And what is the sacrifice? Let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. We are to continue to offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. We are to continue. This sacrifice is something God wants, that we would offer up a sacrifice of praise to Him with our lips. It's good. It's a good thing to praise our God.
It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to gaze upon His majesty, to proclaim His love in the morning, and His faithfulness at night.
Someone to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God this morning with your lips. Would someone do that, please?
Heavenly Father, as we come together this day to worship You and praise You, our sacrifice of praise is to worship You at all times, in good times and in bad, to stay faithful through the storm, Father. Because You don't always say that You will deliver us from storms, but You will help us through the storm. You will bring us through. And Father, help us to remember all the things that You've brought us through in our lives, where we were, what we've done, Father, to remember those things, where we are and where we can be with You, where You can bring us to have the mind of Christ and a heart to love You and know You with such a sincerity, because to know You, when we know You, we will love You. Oh, Father, help us to be faithful during the hard times. Father, help us to stay faithful like Job. And when he ended up saying, Father, God, I've heard of You, but now I see You. That is so huge. That is such a great thing You've given us in Your word. All that Job went through, and that he stayed faithful to You. Father, and what Jesus Christ went through, all they endured, and how You gave us an example of how when we stay faithful to You, the joy and the peace and the things that this world cannot give us, but You give us freely and abundantly of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and temperance. And You've made us able to have victory over every evil thing in this world. We do give You praise, Father, that You alone are worthy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The
13 in your Bible where you just were. After it says this verse that we read in Hebrews 13, 15, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips, giving thanks to his name. It then adds to that verse, the next verse, 16, and here's another sacrifice, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This, of course, is talking about our tithes, offering, our abundant sharing that we give of our means. This is another thing that God asks to continually do. I know there was tithing in the Old Testament, but here in Hebrews, after it says all those things were done away with in Christ, we are still to offer a sacrifice of praise, and we are still to offer offerings, sharing of our abundance, sharing of that which God has provided for us. You can turn, I have these in your notes, Philippians 4, 15 through 18. It says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That's the way Paul's attitude in receiving the tithes, receiving the abundance sharing of the other believers, it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that was well-pleased, just like Noah offered a sacrifice of his thankfulness to God, and God smelled a sweet aroma. When we give out of the abundance of our heart to the ministry, to serving others, to outreach of the gospel, it's a sacrifice, and that is well-pleasing. That's a good thing. It is something we're to do. And that giving is not to be, oh, I got to do it. You know, I got to do it, so, you know, I have to tithe, it is to be done with thankfulness, really. It is to be a sharing of our abundance, looking at what God provided. Look what how he provided. I always think of tithing as that is my acknowledgement that God is my supplier of my needs. When I am willing to say, you know what, I am richer with 10 tenths, with 9 tenths, and I give a tenth back to God, I give that offering to God, I'm richer because of it, because it's an abundance of my sharing. When I share of my abundance, it is a sacrifice, an offering to God. And it's not to be done grudgingly, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. I mean, that's it. It's like, when you tithe, it's like, God provided me a job. God provided me this, and now I can, it's a heart of, you see the thankfulness in there? Oh, God, I'm so thankful. Look what you did. Look, I mean, wow. You took care of me, and you've taken me along my life, and as you do this through your life, and you know, years go by, you can look back and be so filled with thankfulness for God supplying all of my needs, God taking care of me all along the way. It's a beautiful thing. And Corinthians, the Corinthian church, he was encouraging them to give, and then in verse 10 here it says, I love this, the way this is worded, now, he who supplies need to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. As you give, you're going to be enriched, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Listen to this. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Look, here's how it works. God blesses you. God blesses me. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so thankful. I just want to acknowledge that. And I give out of a thankful heart, right? And then those offerings which go to the church are to go to the outreach of the ministry. They're to go to supply the needs so that we can move the gospel. Like here we have the audio equipment and all that. And then that goes out around the world. I can't tell you how many people tell me they're so thankful for that. Well, how's that available? Because people abundantly share. People tithe, that makes available that. We give to the Congo. You know, and the people there abound with thanksgiving. So the thanksgiving produces thanksgiving. And that's so cool. And so as we receive our tithes and our offerings today, I want you to think about that thankfulness, that it's done with that cheerfulness, and how that thanksgiving produces thanksgiving. And just see your offerings go out to move the gospel, to reach out to the world. And it's a wonderful thing. Craig, would you have a word of prayer, and then we can receive our tithes and offerings today?
Well, thank you, God. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping us to be thankful, God, to see your mercy, to see your grace. You ask so little, and you just ask us for so little to do, and we just are thankful to be able to tithe and to see it in action. So we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the way you take care of us and protect us and rebuke the devourer. Help us to be cheerful givers and continue to practice this principle, God. So we thank you for this day. We praise you right now, and we're thankful for all the things you do in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Listen to our prayers, amen. Listen to our prayers. Oh Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear and hear our plea. Yahweh, can you hear our cry, Yahweh? Can you hear our cry? Lead us and guide us and show us the way. From day to day and step by step. Let peace like a river flow. Let peace like a river flow. Like a river constantly flows to the sea. Our spirit flees to you, Lord. Listen to our prayers, amen. Listen to our prayers. Oh Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear and hear our plea.
While I'm thinking about it, this would be a good time to tell you any announcements I have. Tomorrow night we have our Berean Fellowship. That is where we study the Bible. We get together and we do it in our the small conference room, 7 to 9 o'clock. We're in the book of Mark. You can come. You're welcome. It doesn't matter how much you know or how much you think you know or how much you don't know. We'd love to have you come and we'd read the scriptures together. So we're in the Gospel of Mark. That's our Berean Fellowship tomorrow, 7 to 9. Once again, Teen Winter Advance in Rhode Island is December 28th through the 30th. For all you teens, that's Winter Teen Advance, December 28th through the 30th. Registration is online at lhim.org. And also Revive Weekend in Woodstock, Connecticut, January 4th through the 6th. Registration is online for that as well. I did want to let you know, last week it was announced that we are not having the Christmas party because we didn't have anybody that wanted to oversee that. However, some people were interested in being part of a Christmas caroling. We announced that, and some people said they'd like to. And I want to let you know if any of you would be interested in being part of Christmas caroling. We're going to do this at our service on the 16th. We're going to have those of you that wanted to carol come up, and we'll do that as part of our service. Jay Klein's not here, but you see Bill Yaconis. Bill's in the back. See Bill. Let him know you'd like to be part of it, and we'll do some practices. And then that service, then, we'll talk about, you know, we'll look at the birth of Christ a bit in there, about the Messiah and who that is, and we'll do some little caroling at the end. And so that'll be kind of a special day, and if any of you were thinking, oh, man, I wanted to bake some cookies for the Christmas party, hey, this would be your opportunity. On the 16th, if you have baked, this is only finger food, though. We don't want you bringing something you got to put in the oven or bring something that you need a fork to eat. But if you make Christmas cookies or if you make fudge or you make those things that Gail makes, those incredible bark things. I don't know what those are, but, you know, where you can eat with the finger food, this would be the time to do it. On the 16th, bring that and we'll have little finger food for dessert that day. That would be great. And we'll have caroling that day. So that's the 16th, our service on that 10:30 fellowship. So if you'd like to carol, if you'd like to be part of that group of caroling, see Bill Yaconis and let him know, and then we'll have some practice for the caroling on that day. All right? So I wanted to let you know about those things. Now, you could turn to Psalm 136, but I'm going to look at this verse here first, Psalm 106, and I'm going to show a few other verses with you. Eventually, we're going to get to Psalm 136. Here in Psalm 106, it says, praise the Lord, or praise Yahweh. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. It says, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The King James Version always translates this phrase, for his mercy endures forever. For his loving kindness is everlasting. We are to give thanks to Yahweh for this purpose, because his loving kindness is everlasting. This word loving kindness and or mercy in the King James Version is the Hebrew chesed. It is that chesed love, that covenant love, that love that God has for humanity and for his people and how he takes care of his people and he brings his people in and his mercy. It's that mercy in Psalms that says, as high as the heavens of above the earth, so far as his mercy for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed his transgressions from us. This is our God. And, you know, God gets a bad rap, but really what God is loving kindness. He is filled with compassion and filled with mercy. And he is a God of loving kindness. And this is this psalm. And this is repeated throughout the scriptures. When I was a few years ago, after we did Kingdom Fest here, where we taught on the kingdom of God, Rhode Island also did a series of teachings on the kingdom of God, and Victor Gluckin was running that, and he was really trying to show that this kingdom is a real kingdom that's coming, that there's an established kingdom that's coming to earth, and, you know, there's going to be a government, and there's going to be all these things. And one thing he wanted me to teach on, he said, and you know, there's going to be an anthem, because he wanted me to lead into the singing that night, an anthem, you know, like when you're a country has a national anthem, right? And so I was saying, okay, well, what's the national anthem of the kingdom? And I started looking at this phrase. And I really think, you know, if there is a national anthem for God of song, it's this. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Look at this. When David brought the ark, right, the ark had been stolen, And then it sat in that house for years. And then David put a tent after he brought it into Jerusalem, before there was a temple. He brought the ark into Jerusalem and put it under the tabernacle of David. And he instructed the Levites to sing. And this is what he told them when he brought in. He said in 1 Chronicles 16:4, and he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of Yahweh, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the God of Israel. The responsibility of the Levites. The first thing, thanks and praise to God. And this is what they were to sing in verse 34. This is what they were to sing. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. This is what they were to sing. He is good, his loving kindness is everlasting. Then, when they built the temple, and Solomon built the temple, which was after David, 40 years, Solomon becomes king. They built the temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And at the dedication of the temple, what is it they said in 2 Chronicles 5:13? In unison with the trumpeters, the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify Yahweh. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised Yahweh, saying, what? Indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And I put on there 2 Chronicles 7, and you can read that. That's at the end of this. The fire comes down from heaven. Well, let's look at it. 2 Chronicles, let's look at this verse. We got time. This is great. At the beginning, as they were doing it, a cloud covers, and they sing this. And then, while he's there, they put these offerings, and fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice that Solomon offered. And what did they do? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Look at this in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, this is after he prayed and dedicated the temple, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of Yahweh because of the glory of Yahweh filled Yahweh's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave praise to Yahweh, saying, what? Truly, he is good. Truly, his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before Yahweh. King of Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. 22,000 oxen. 120, that's a lot of sacrificing. Thus the king and all the people dedicated the house of the God. The priests stood at their posts, and the Levites also with the instruments of music to Yahweh, which King David had made for his kindness, made for giving praise to Yahweh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Why did they do it? For his loving kindness is everlasting. His hesed love is everlasting. It goes on forever. There's a record in the where the nation of Judah was being invaded, and Jehoshaphat, his military strategy was to send out musicians in front of the army. He sent out the band to go before the army. And what do you think they sang? They sang the national anthem. What did they sing? In 2 Chronicles 20:21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to Yahweh and those to praise him in holy attire. And as they went out before the army, they sang the national anthem. Give thanks to Yahweh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. That's what God's people shouted. That's what they praised. That was what they were, that his loving kindness, his mercy is forever. This is what God has asked us to praise, and it's what he asked those people to praise. You go, Judah gets taken into captivity, right? They get taken into captivity, and then a group of them go back to, after the temple was totally destroyed, the Babylonians destroyed it, right? And then at the time of Zerubbabel, they went back and they laid the foundation of the temple again, hundreds of years later. And they laid the foundation of the temple, and what do you think they sang? Ezra 3:10-11. And when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Yahweh according to the direction of King David of Israel. And they sang, praising and giving thanks to Yahweh, saying what? For he is good, and his loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They sang, praise Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy is forever. His loving kindness is everlasting. And there's a day coming when Jerusalem is going to be restored. The king is going to come back to the earth, and everything that God, everything that's been wrong, is going to get made right again. And the prophets speak about this in the Old Testament, about what's going to happen at that day when the king returns, when the restoration comes upon Jerusalem. And guess what it says we're all going to sing at that time? Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 11. And that day, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to Yahweh of hosts, for Yahweh is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He is going to fulfill all the covenants that he made with his people. Everything that's wrong with this world is going to get made right again. And in that day when we all come to Jerusalem, we are going to sing the national anthem. Give praise God, for his loving kindness is everlasting. I think that's beautiful. Psalm 136, if you turn there. I already told you to go there, but then I went to Chronicles and I all screwed you up. Psalm 136. This entire psalm, this is what it's about. The loving kindness of Yahweh is everlasting. Psalm 136. And I've got some of the verses here. Psalm 136, 1. Look at this. It says, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to him. Now, I said that, but it's not written there. You see that? These first three uses say give thanks, and then that's an ellipsis here. It's implied that all these verses, we're giving thanks. While we're doing this, it's an attitude of giving thanks. So when you and I praise God, in other words, when I offer God praise, and I look at the stars and I say, oh, God, those are so beautiful, so magnificent, and my heart is full. I'm not saying thank you, Lord, but I'm saying thank you, Lord. You understand? That it's just like I don't always say praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. I don't always have to say thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. When I declare what God has done for me, and I'm declaring what he has done for humanity, I am thanking him. I'm thanking him in praise. I'm thanking him with words, declaring what he's done. And that's thanksgiving, as we declare what God has done for us. So let me just read through some of these verses here. Let's read this again. Psalm 136, verse 1. It says, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Go down to verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, amen, huh? For his loving kindness is everlasting. And then it ends with, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting.
Open up the skies of mercy, rain down the cleansing blood, healing waters rise around us, and hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. Open up. Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing waters rise around us. And hear our cries, Lord. Let us rise. And it's your kindness, Lord, to repentance. It's your favor, Lord, it's our desire. And it's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life. We can feel your mercy falling. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises rise to heaven. Draw us near, Lord. Meet us here, and it's your kindness, Lord, leads us to repentance. It's your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than life. It's better than life. Your love is better than life. It's better than life. Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing waters rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord, let them rise.
So it's good. It is a good thing to praise God for his mercy that endures forever. To praise him for how good he is. And so I'd like someone at this time to actually just take the time today. Be thankful. Thank God for his loving kindness and his mercy. Would someone like to do that, please?
Lord God, we just are so truly, truly thankful. God, that we have breath, that we have life, that we are in tune with that breath life to be able to praise you and use our voices, to sing of you and your great mercies, your great tenderness, your great love towards us that just never is turning. There's never a shadow of your love, Lord.
It's always straightforward. It's always right directly to our hearts. God, how it is that we can be so thankful for our families, loved ones, for the church, for your word, for your son Jesus Christ especially, that we can follow his life, Lord, and what it is that he accomplished, so that we could have this ability to be able to praise you unfettered. We can do it all day long. We don't have to go to some certain place to be with certain people, to have certain people do this or that. Have an animal in tow with us as we go along to give sacrifice. We can just from our heart lift ourselves to you and just thank you, God, for the wonderful, wonderful gifts you give to us. Help us to be able to see through the darkness, to find the light, Lord, that light that you give to us each and every day. It is there. It is continually there all around us all the time if we will but look and see. Keep the deception of ungratefulness from our eyes. Help us to stay steadfast upon this word that you have so graciously given to us. How you've constrained us over and over and over again tirelessly with your love, Lord. We can be so thankful for that, that we are sitting here, that we are hearing your word, that we are loving you, God, and allowing you to love us. For these things, oh God, we are very, very thankful.
Where would I be if you had not been by my side? How could I rise to meet the morning of the day? Your tender mercy's always calling from behind. At times I could not see you, even though you were close by. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy forever endures. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy forever endures. Where would I be if you had not been by my side? How could I rise to meet the morning of the day? Your tender mercy is always calling from behind. Times I could not see you, even though you were close by. Lord, you are good. You are good. Lord, you
Doesn't it feel good to sing praises to God, to praise Him for His goodness and His kindness? I had to do this verse. I didn't know where to fit it into the fellowship, but I'm doing it now. And that is 2 Timothy 2:1-2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petition, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And it's important that we thank God for our country. We thank God for our government. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of political mess in the world, and everybody gets all uptight. But you know what? We live in a pretty good country. I'm pretty thankful that we can have a place like this. You know, for me, I'm just thankful that there are people that are willing to serve in public service. But because really, who'd want it? You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful that there are people that actually want to do that job, because I don't want to do it. And so I'm very thankful. And you know, I know some people don't like the president, but they love our governor. Some people don't like our governor, but they love the president. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't say anything about here about your political. We're supposed to give thanks, be filled with thankfulness for our country and for the people that lead. So, of course, Brad, I'm thinking about you in this. I wonder if you would thank God for our government today, for our country.
Heavenly Father God, I thank you for our nation, God, for America, for the 250 years that we've been around, God, to have freedom to worship you, God, to give thanks to you and open, God, without fear of persecution. Father, we know our leaders are far from perfect human beings, God. No one's perfect. But God, I pray for your wisdom, God, for those in our government, God, who believe in you. I pray that your hand can impact them, that we can continue to live quiet and peaceful lives, God. We know through your word that you use your servants to impact governments that are against you, God, for your good. And so, God, I just pray that you'll work with our leaders, with the people in government who have faith in you, God, that we can continue to have a country where we can worship you freely, God. And, God, if that period of peace should end, God, I pray that you would give us boldness and faith to be able to worship you, God, and give thanks when times are good and when times are hard. And again, I just want to thank you for everyone who has stood up to serve, God, and also for the military, God, for those who are willing to lay down their lives so that we can have that freedom, God, to worship you, God. I just thank you for how really easy we have it here. Where the worst thing so far that we have to deal with is just insults and accusations of being judgmental, God. I pray that as a whole, your love can fill the body of Christ here, God, that people can see you through our love, and that your peace and love can rule. But I just thank you for giving this country where we can live freely. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. It is great to be thankful. When Jesus Christ instituted the new covenant at the Last Supper, he had his disciples and he offered bread and wine. And he said the bread was his body. And he said, take, eat. And then the cup, he said, the cup was his blood, and that those represented him. And in Matthew 26:27, I have up here on the chart, it says, and when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. And then in Luke 22, it says he gave thanks over the wine. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me. So one, he thanked them for the cup, and the other one, he thanked them for the bread. And he said to give thanks for these things, for him and for his giving his life for us. When we were, Sean had us, I don't know how long ago that was, we read Early Church Fathers. And this is one of those things that, you know, you hear something like, huh. And I just always thought this was fascinating to me. One of the earliest documents after the New Testament writings of what we have in the New Testament was a work called the Didache. I used to call it the didachi, but that's not really right. You pronounce it didache or didache. I like to say didache. But it's probably the earliest church known writing after the original apostles. It's like the next generation of Christians that this would have been written. So it's either late 1st century or very early 2nd century. But in here, it talks about what this service that we call communion. And it doesn't call it communion in that early church document. You know what it calls it? It calls it the Eucharist. It comes from this Greek word, Eucharisto, which is give thanks. And here is from this Didache, the early church writings, in section 6. It says, and now concerning the Eucharist, or you know how you would say that in English? Concerning the thanksgiving. Concerning the thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, hold the Eucharist thus. I always thought the Eucharist, I thought it was a Roman Catholic thing that came with the Roman Catholic Church as one of their sacraments. But this was 200 years before there was a Roman Catholic Church, that they're using this term, the Eucharist, this giving of thanks for the communion. And it says, first concerning the cup, we give thanks to thee, O Father, for the holy vine of David, thy child, which thou didst known to us through Jesus, thy child, to thee be glory forever. And concerning the broken bread, we give thee thanks, our Father, for the life and knowledge which thou didst make known to us through Jesus, thy child, to be glory forever. So I just thought that was so cool. And I think it's very appropriate that this time of year we've kind of made this kind of a tradition in our church that this Sunday after Thanksgiving, then we do a communion together, that we receive communion. And it's appropriate because it is the giving of thanks. It's the time where we be thankful. And specifically for this day, we are thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for us, that he did that, and he made a new covenant with us with a promise that we have life in the age to come. So at this time, we're going to take a time and a chance to receive communion. Before we do that, we're going to do a song.
Yes.
Thankful?
Thankful.
All right. So let's be thankful.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Two tables in the back, and this is if you don't want to receive communion, you don't have to. This is between you and your God and to your Lord Jesus Christ. But if you would like to, we have two tables. Just go in line, and you first take a little piece of bread and eat the bread, and then there's a little cup of it's grape juice that you have, and you drink. And you do that right there at the table, and discard the cup right there. That'd be great. So after we have a prayer for the bread and the wine. You'll be able to do that on your own. So, Donna, would you pray for the bread that we have and give thanks for this?
Father God, we have so much to be thankful for, God. And this is one of the things that we take great pleasure in doing, giving you thanks, my God. I thank you that we can offer this sacrifice of praise to you. And I thank you for the meaning of it being of our Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice, God. We just love you so much, and we give you all the praise and glory only you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So take me as you respond. As you're inspired, you can walk and go to the tables. Let's give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's here. Jesus Christ, His Son. Give
us in the scripture is in 1 Corinthians 14, 13 through 17, talking about speaking in tongues. It says, therefore, let one who speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen at your what? Giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying. For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. When a person speaks in tongues, and what we know about speaking in tongues is that it magnifies God. It speaks the wonderful works of God in Acts. It eulogizes God. It speaks about the wonders of God. And here it says that it gives thanks well. It's part of that praise. The same thing with thanksgiving. And I know for me personally, one of the great personal benefits for my life in speaking in tongues, which is, again, here it tells us not to do it in the church unless it's going to be interpreted. But I know for me personally, there's times where I'm so overwhelmed with trying to express myself to God. I can't, with my vocabulary, say it well enough. You know, I just don't feel like I have the words to give God the thanks or to give Him the praise that I want to. And at those moments, I speak in tongues. I've done this a lot of times I'll be out by myself alone, and I'll just speak in tongues because it's giving thanks well. It's magnifying God. It's speaking the wonderful works of God. And this is one of the aspects of it. So I thought it would be appropriate this time in the service to give an opportunity for those of you that are inspired to speak in tongues and interpret to do that at this point. So if anyone is inspired at this time, speak in tongues and interpret, please do so.
Iandru coro si indicato, lu coro si dirimu lu ate ala potru ko, kuru andati a patala turu ju. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, because He is good, because His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. He has given His Son for us. He has given everything. So give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy is everlasting, of His truth enduring to all generations.
Kuru hundara kasinte iriki santara kasunto, umara hasantara kasinte iriki. できるよ、そんとろこそんで。たらほんとろこさんたらかすんで。きりひんだらかすんとろこそんだらかすんで。おー、Heavenly Father, you are so magnificent. When you created heaven and earth, that you want family to love you, so that you created us. And you created everything good in heaven and earth and for us. So lovingly provided everything. Yet mankind fall, but they were enemies of you. But you saw loving kind and merciful to reach so deep, and you promised that you will save, you will send saviors to save us. That is your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And you watch through that horrible torture, you endure through that pain because you knew that's the only way you can redeem us. And therefore you accomplish, you faithfully keep it, you promise, and you accomplish our salvation plan. Here we are. We are your children. We are born with your spirit. And forever, evermore, that nothing can separate from you. And how overwhelming thankful I am for great, wonderful works that you have done for us. God, I am so thank you. And there's no word to describe. Thank you.
Kiriyoto lazitu ida hapioto. Eto maani ata ito piata. Eshtina shiriata. Ika kioto. Ika inioto. For the Lord God reigns on high, a mighty and loving and gracious Father, who has given his children insight, who's given his children a chance to be with him and to fellowship with him. He's a God that has protected his people. He's made himself known. He's upgirded them and strengthened them to see all the love and all the promises he has unto them. For he is a God that is so kind, so generous. He's a God that endures, and he waits, and he helps us to love him and to worship him. For he, God Almighty, is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and has called you, his people, to fellowship and be with him. Great thankfulness to see his mighty works within your life and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, who has made it all possible through the love of God.
Amen to that, huh? It's awesome. Be thankful for all he's done for us. I want to show you another verse here. This is my admonition for you as you go forward this week. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. Now, notice it doesn't say for everything, give thanks. I experienced this week, this past few days. Thursday night, we come back from our Thanksgiving meal and we go to wash up some dishes, and our kitchen sink is flooded with water. It's filled. It won't go down. Put down liquid plumber, get a plunger. It's not going down. I'm thankful for my brother Jim Allen, who came over, helped me take things apart because we had to snake it. And it was clogged. I mean, it was clogged from the top of the first floor all the way down to the basement. I mean, it just, this was like micro dirty job stuff. You know, I was like, I was not thankful for that. Okay? But my wife says, aren't we thankful it didn't happen on Thanksgiving dinner? Okay, yeah. I'm trying to, I want to wallow here a little bit. in everything that I can give thanks. I'm thankful for Jim. I'm thankful that it didn't happen at a time, you know. And you know, we can choose in our minds if we want to complain and just complain about my life and complain about what I got to do today, or we can change. And in everything, you can find something to be thankful for. In every situation, you could be thankful and give thanks. So that's my encouragement as you go through this week. And then finally, to bring it all full circle back to Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and what? And be thankful. And the verse that we open with, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So let's all stand. We're going to got to close with one more song to end our fellowship, because I'm thankful.
I'm thankful too.
Lord God, I'm so thankful.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.